It is my great honor and my great pleasure to be with all of you this evening. Today, in a television interview, the interviewer asked me, "How do you like Slovenia?" I replied, "I love the Slovenian people." But the only Slovenian people I know are all of you. So I was speaking very honestly. But it is it is a very special country. Srila Prabhupada told us that in India when they cook rice, they boil the rice. And even if it's a 100-liter or 1,000-liter pot of rice, if you take one grain out and squeeze it, if it's done, that means the whole pot, every grain is nice. So when Srila Prabhupada first came to the United States of America, he arrived in September of 1965, at the age of 70. He walked off that 38-day journey on a cargo ship. Then he was shipped off by bus to Butler, Pennsylvania, which is a very unknown place. If not for Srila Prabhupada going there, I would have never heard of Butler, Pennsylvania. And Srila Prabhupada just lived with one family. And the housewife was an American lady named Sally. And Srila Prabhupada saw that although she was very materialistic in many ways, and she didn't have any Vedic conceptions, she was very kind. And she was very receptive to Srila Prabhupada's love. So Prabhupada was very ecstatic. He was very happy. That was the grain of rice that to him represented the entire 250 million people population of America. He could understand that these people, they like to hear. They're good people, they're receptive people. Actually, wherever I go in the world, any person, any devotee who has ever been to Slovenia praises Slovenia. The simplicity, the enthusiasm, the way the devotees are so eager to serve, and sometimes very competent to serve. Competency is something we should strive for. Because when we're doing something for Krishna, for the pleasure of Krishna, our love is to do it our very best. Just like when a mother prepares food for her children, it's not that she just throws together anything and says, "They already know that I love them." A loving mother will go through great, great pains to do the best she possibly can every meal because it's the way she shows her love. She wants her children to be happy. She wants her children to be healthy. Sometimes even her husband too. It's the way it's supposed to be. But where there's love, we put our heart, our soul, into doing the very, very best we can. That's devotion. And wherever that effort is made with affection, it has great power. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes talk about when he lived at the Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan. He was living as a sadhu. And every morning, very, very early, he would see one very old widow lady with tremendous amount of strain. She would carry a pot of water from the river Yamuna and just place it in front of the closed doors of the altar. And nobody saw her. Prabhupada from his room would sometimes see her. She would just leave it there and then go away. Every day she was bringing that water for Radha Damodar. For Krishna. She wasn't getting any fame. She wasn't getting any recognition. No one told her to do it. But for her to go every day, and even in the cold winter, in the early morning, without fail, she would bring that water with great care. And the pujari would just, at a certain point, come out and see there's water there, and he would bring it in and offer it to Krishna. Because it was done with love. And Srila Prabhupada, he's such a great saint. Even after he had spread this path, this knowledge and path of bhakti all over the world, and he had thousands and thousands of followers and 100 temples, still he would remember that old widow lady because he recognized. It's not materially how big we do something. It's the quality of sincerity and devotion that makes it great. But we should try to do it as big and as best as we can, because that's how we can express our devotion. In the Mahaprakash of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the house of Srivas, where the Pancha Tattva would gather, Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna, who has come to taste the sweetness of Radha's love and to share that love with the world through this Nam Kirtan, or the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. He knew that so many people in this world will claim to be God. He was God, but he only claimed to be a devotee of God because he wanted to set an example. You see, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells very philosophically and very practically how we can attain the perfection of life. But then he came again as Lord Chaitanya to teach by example how to live the Bhagavad Gita. Because spiritual knowledge is not just to know. Spiritual knowledge is meant to transform our hearts. Philosophy without an inner transformation has no real value. The purpose of a map is not just to sit home and be able to tell everybody exactly how to get to Rome. I just came from Roma yesterday. Now I took an airplane. But some people drive, yes? And my pundit came from Villa Vrindavan, driving, yes? So he could be sitting at Villa Vrindavan and he could memorize the map and say, I know how to get to Ljubljana. I know exactly how to go to new Yoga Pit in the, to see the Panchatattva. And somebody says, well, when are you going to go? He says, no, I know everything. I know everything. But the whole purpose of knowing is so that you can apply it to get there. Jnana vijnana triptatma. The Gita tells that there's theoretical knowledge, our teachings, but the only purpose of that is to get realization. Realization only comes when we apply those teachings to our life, to the way we perceive the world, to the way we relate to one another. To see the whole world as God's property. That sounds nice, but to actually live that way is another dimension. If we actually believe that everything is God's property, then we use everything in a spirit of seva or service. And that means my body is God's property, and my intelligence is God's property, and my abilities are gifts of God. So if everything is a gift of God, I cannot become arrogant. I cannot become proud in a bad way. I can only be grateful and use all these gifts as a way of expressing our gratitude and love. That's how we see the world as God's property. One time in Sri Mayapur Dham, devotees, the very senior-most leaders of our society from all over the world, they were showing Srila Prabhupada projects that were being built. There was nice construction. There was nice agriculture. So many things were happening. And Srila Prabhupada pointed his cane to a field and said, can't you see? And all the leaders were looking in the field. There was just a field. Prabhupada raised his voice, can't you see? And they were thinking, you know, maybe we're supposed to see Krishna dancing in the field, playing his, maybe Prabhupada's seeing Krishna, we just can't see. So they didn't know what, and Prabhupada said, can't you see? And then he very quickly walked into the field and he bent down and turned off a leaking water faucet. And then he came back. He said, it is all Krishna's energy. We should never waste Krishna's energy. And then he paused and said, that is Krishna consciousness. So if we actually understand Gita, we will see the world in this view that everything is for Krishna. Everything is Krishna's. It's not a matter of whether I own it or not, because we really don't own anything. Some things are in our care. Some things are in another person's care. But we understand such a small thing. How much did that little leaking water faucet affect the world as far as the water amounts? But yet that act was such a powerful statement. And every situation we live in life, big or small, is an opportunity to deeply connect with Krishna. By applying these principles to our life. So Lord Chaitanya wanted to teach how to live the Gita. And therefore he played the role of a devotee. But those devotees who knew who he was, they wanted to worship him. They wanted to offer him tulsi leaves and chandan, and they wanted to offer him abhishekhs and artis, and they wanted to offer him large quantities of food, and they wanted to sing kirtan for him and praise him. And Lord Chaitanya would take their clothes and wash it for them. If he saw the devotees doing puja on the bank of the Ganges, he would get water for them, and he would get articles for them so nicely. If he saw devotees carrying things, he would carry it for them. Sometimes out of respect, he would touch their feet and put the dust on their heads. And if they tried to stop him, very lovingly, gently, he had very long arms. Nobody could stop him. So they wanted to serve him, and he was always serving them. Because he wanted to show the example. Even God loves to serve the devotees. What is our position? But one day, just to fulfill the desires of all the devotees, Lord Chaitanya did something that was such a historical episode of happiness for everyone. He sat on the altar and assumed his true identity as Krishna. And then he said something. He said, sing the Abhishek song. That means he was going to accept all their honor and their devotion. So they were bringing so many pots of water from the Ganges to bathe Lord Chaitanya with. And please understand, many of the greatest people, Advaitacharya, he's the leader of the entire Brahmin community. Most respected Brahman, most respected Vaishnav, Mahavishnu, Sadashiva, he's the original Shiva. He's the original Purusha of the material universe. How many people have titles like that? And he was bathing the Lord. And Nityananda Prabhu Balaram and Haridas Thakur Brahma. Gadadhar Pandit, Srimati Radharani, and all these great, great souls, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Gangadas Pandit, Chandrasekhar, Srivas, and his brother, Sriram, Srinidhi, Sripati. They're all offering this service to Lord Chaitanya. And there were many, many people there. And as they were bringing the water, there was one simple little lady. She was a maid servant. She was, by the caste system, from the lowest kind of birth. She was uneducated. She was not pretty. She just was a person who just did chores. Had no position in society except just to be a maidservant. But she was so happy just to serve everyone else. as they were bringing the water, she was putting them in very, very nice lines. And she was going and getting the water and putting it in nice lines. And there were so many people there, nobody even noticed her. There was singing, there was dancing, everyone was looking at the altar, Lord Chaitanya was being bathed. It was very, and she would just put the water in nice little lines after carrying it, and then some very exalted person would hand it to another exalted person who would hand it to another exalted person who would offer it to the Lord. But as Lord Chaitanya was sitting there, he was looking at this lady. Her name was Dukhi. Dukhi means the miserable one. Why would anyone name their daughter Dukhi? Have you ever met anybody who named their child the miserable one? Well, because I've lived in India since 1970, on and off, I know some of the reasons why these things are done. You see, when a family is extremely poor and they're really suffering, and sometimes in that family, a mother and father, they don't have any medical means. So sometimes child after child die at the time of birth, or die just after birth. So such a poor family where they're suffering so much, and all their children are dying, they name their child Dukhi. For the reason, because her name means the miserable one, that death and suffering may feel sorry for her and not make her suffer so much. Does that make sense? Ramchandra, you're translating like that? So her name was Dukhi, which means she was from a very miserable background. But Lord Chaitanya was watching. She wasn't making thousands of disciples. She wasn't building temples. She was just carrying water. But she was doing it with all her heart and soul. She was putting all her heart, all her artistic abilities in just making it nice, because she wanted to please all the Lord's devotees. You know, when Lord Chaitanya saw this, he was so happy. He asked Srivas, "Who is this old lady here?" And Srivas said, "This is a maidservant. Her name is Dukhi." Lord Chaitanya said, "I do not like the name Dukhi. It doesn't sit properly in my heart. I give her the name Sukhi." Sukhi means the happy one. But he not only gave her the name, he gave her the happiness. At that moment, ecstatic love of God, prema bhakti, awakened in her heart. What may take hundreds and hundreds of lifetimes of trying to perform yoga to even get a glimpse of love of God. What may take bahunam janmanam ante jnanavam ampapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatmasu durlabha. What may take many, many, many thousands of lifetimes of studying all the scriptures and understanding and memorizing philosophies to even get a glimpse of love of God, praying. What wealthy people may build temples for so many lifetimes and not even get a glimpse of praying. Dukhi, just by carrying some water, she got it. because of her sincerity, because her intent. Srila Prabhupada writes that pure devotional service, prema bhakti, is very rare. Why is it so rare? Because it cannot be achieved. It can only be given by Sri Radha's grace. Sri Radha, the feminine potency of Krishna, is the keeper of love. And when she is pleased by the sincerity of our intent, she gives that love. Srila Prabhupada says, although it is very difficult to achieve and very rare, Krishna gives it easily for those who are sincere, who are serious, and who have no ulterior motives. If you don't have ulterior motives, you won't make offenses to others. Because we're not performing our service for our own egos. Samsidhir Haritoshanam. We're doing it to please Krishna. And Krishna's pleased not just with what we do, but what is our, how we do it. Srila Prabhupada explains from the scriptures, the lowest kind of devotee is one who worships the Lord, but does not give honor, respect, and service to other people, especially devotees. But Lord Chaitanya taught, amani na manadena. If you want to chant the names of the Lord in such a way that Krishna is pleased, not such a way that you become a famous kirtan singer and sell CDs and all that, which is nice. But if you want to actually please, Krishna is not pleased with just that. Krishna is pleased when we chant in a spirit wherein we live our life eager to offer all respect to others and not demanding respect for ourselves. If it's not given to us, we're happy. We're happy because I'm respecting others. Our happiness is what we give, not what we get. When we give, Krishna gives. And if we get respect, we're happy. We're happy to give it to Krishna, to our guru, to all those who have helped us. We don't take it for ourselves. As soon as we take for ourselves, the ego becomes infatuated. And then the ego is never satisfied. It's very complex. The ego is like a spider web. The more active a fly is, when he's within that web, the more he gets all wrapped up and entangled and trapped. Yes? That's the way the ego is. To be without ego is, Krishna, you've given me the abilities, you've given me the resources. All I want to do is make you happy. And I want to make everyone happy for you. That's liberation. That was Dukhi. She just wanted to make everyone happy. And she attained the ultimate perfection of life. Of course, there's also stories of millionaires and billionaires and kings who have the same consciousness as Dukhi. Hari. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the greatest scholar practically in the world. It was not a disqualification when he actually understood that all this knowledge is, I'm just an instrument of Krishna for Krishna's pleasure, real knowledge, when it's realized, makes us humble. If knowledge is not properly realized, it makes us proud, which is very contradictory to the very purpose of knowledge. So this is the spirit. And because the people here in Slovenia have nice simplicity, at least that's what everyone thinks. Everyone's very happy to be here. So you do have that simplicity, but you may have some other things also. But we should understand what actually is our real wealth. What is our real potential? And we should strive to develop that and strive to help each other to become like that. We should be grateful. Grateful to God, grateful for what God gives us, Krishna gives us. And we show that gratitude by our enthusiasm to serve. Srila Prabhupada told us, you can show your gratitude for me by accepting what I've given you and sharing it with others. If we're really grateful for Prabhupada, then we'll really try to chant the holy names very sincerely. Because this is his gift to us. If somebody gives you a gift, gratitude is to accept it. Yes? If you're grateful for something, it's not that you don't have time for it. We should have a practical understanding of gratitude. And all of the devotees are Prabhupada's children. Of course, sometimes devotees, when they are critical or unnecessarily criticizing others, then we have to respectfully keep our distance. But for others, to understand that Prabhupada has given me this wonderful community, let me make them happy. Let me help. That's gratitude. Srila Prabhupada spent so much of his time and his life writing his translations and purports in his books to sincerely try to understand them according to our capacity. That's gratitude. Prabhupada is giving this to me. Prabhupada has given us the deities. By serving them together as a community nicely, that's how we show our gratitude. And that gratitude is what actually makes our heart fertile for the seed of devotion to actually grow. Recently, I was in Assisi. Have any of you been to Assisi? Please raise your hands. Assisi is the place of Saint Francis, or San Francesco. What happened is I was in Moscow, and one of my dear friends, Gorvani Prabhu, who's also the son of one of my dearest God brothers and God sisters. He invited me because he brought a group of about 15 people from America on a tour of Assisi. So I went from Moscow to Assisi and then from Assisi to Ljubljana. But I'd like to tell a story about St. Francis. One day he was walking from Perugia to to the Santa Maria de Angeli. Did I say it correctly? Huh? Santa Maria degli Angeli. Santa Maria degli Angeli. Is that correct? Okay. And it was early spring, and it was night. It was freezing cold. It was pouring rain sometimes, and it was snowing at other times as they were walking. And he was walking with one other of his brothers, Leo. And as they were walking through the cold, there was no food. They were just going through forests. It was night. Leo was walking ahead. St. Francis said, "Brother Leo, write this down. What is perfect joy?" He said, "If all of us brothers perfectly exemplify a sanctified life of saints, write this down, that is not perfect joy." They keep walking. After some time, "Brother Leo, if we give sight to the blind, give hearing to the deaf, give the power to speak to the dumb, give the power to walk to the lame, if we cast out the devils in people's minds, even if we raise people from the dead, even if they've been dead for several days and we give them their life back, please write this down. That is not perfect joy." They walked. "Brother Leo! Even if we learn all the languages perfectly and understand deeply all the sciences, even if we learn and memorize all the scriptures, even if we understand the soul in everyone and how it's working and what it's thinking, even if we understand how each star is moving in the sky, write this down. That does not constitute perfect joy." They walked. "Brother Leo!" Leo is a ways ahead. He said, "Even if we preach and we convert all the non-believers to our faith and our religion, write this down. That is not perfect joy." They walked. After some time, Brother Leo turned around and said, "Brother Francis, for God's sake, what is perfect joy?" Would you like to hear? Yes. San Francesco said, "When we arrive at Santa Maria degli Angeli, when we arrive there and we knock on the door, and one of our brothers answers the door, and it's cold. It's so cold. We're just freezing of cold. And our fingers are numb from the snow and we're starving. And that person looks at us and says, 'Who are you?' And we say, 'We are your brothers. We've come here for shelter and for food. We've come to serve and praise God with you.' And the person says, 'You are liars. You are cheaters. You are imitating. You are actually thieves.
who are robbing innocent people in the forest, and now you've come to rob us. Out from here! And slam the door in our face. When that happens, if we thank God, if we think whatever they said about us is actually true, and actually God was making them say that just to help us to go deeper into our devotion. If we feel like that, write this down. That is perfect joy. And then he said, after they walked a little, and after he rejects us, we're so cold and we're so starving and we're on the verge of death. Desperately, helplessly, we knock on the door again and scream out, please brother, help us. Because there's nowhere else to go. And he comes to the door again and he sees us and he says, you again! What are you doing here? Out from here! And he beats us with his fist and kicks us into the snow and slams the door in our face. If we bear that with gratitude, happy of being a servant of the Lord, and in that state, we're so desperate, we knock on the door again. And we scream, please, help us. And he comes out and says, again! And he picks out a huge stick that's knotted all over it and grabs us by our robes around the neck and beats us with the stick over and over and beats every single limb of our body with the stick and then throws us in the snow and kicks us in the snow and our stomachs are howling of hunger and thirst and we're beaten. He said, in that state, if we thank God, because he's allowing us to suffer out of our love for him, just like our Savior suffered out of love for us. You see, all the good, nice things in this world belong to God. All that's ours is the opportunity to serve and to love. In every situation, we can offer our love. In offering to love in that situation, write this down. That is perfect joy. That's a universal principle. It's an extreme example. In the early days, when him and his monks first started, that's what people would do to them. But they were so united. And they were so happy because they were grateful for the opportunity to serve. What is real wealth? Real wealth is that consciousness of valuing humble service. Just about a month and a half ago, I was in Puri for Rath Yatra. His Holiness Chandramali Swami Maharaj was also there, dancing in front of Jagannath's chariot. Anyways, we had about between 4,000 and 5,000 devotees sitting all together. And at the same time, there was 1.2 million people on the street that day. And sometimes it was raining, storms of monsoons during the parade, and sometimes it was extremely hot. If it wasn't raining, it was burning hot. And if it was raining, it was really wet. But everyone was just so grateful that we get to be here for this wonderful, wonderful blessing of Rath Yatra. It's a grateful heart.
And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would perform the Ratha Yatra, before his kirtan, before he danced and worshipped Jagannath, he offered a beautiful prayer, which concludes, Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Dasa 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 Anudas. I'm not of any material designation. Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, these are just positions we take with responsibility. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, whatever it may be. But what gives spiritual substance to whoever we are and whatever we do is this spirit of feeling myself the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. And anyone could be like that. King Prataparudra was the undisputed king of the entire area of Odisha and much of what is now Andhra Pradesh. Lord Chaitanya would not give him mercy because generally kings are very arrogant and attached and envious. It's the nature. But when Lord Chaitanya saw him sweeping the street with his heart, sometimes in our ratayachas around the world, we get dignitaries come and they sweep so that the newspapers will make them look real humble, so they get votes. But you see, the difference is Lord Chaitanya, he sees from the inside out. Everyone else is seeing from the outside in. But Lord Chaitanya is seeing what is our motive, what is the sincerity. And we make all of our advancement according to what he sees from within. King Prataparudra was genuinely, honestly feeling himself to be the servant of the Lord and all of the others. And that was the spirit in which he swept the street. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed that mercy upon him. In this regard, how did the Lord bestow the mercy on him? He was being rejected at every state. But during the Ratha Yatra, there's a place called Balagandhi. And there, Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra stop for quite a long time. And so many people bring offerings. The people of Puri, the king and the ministers and the queens and the princesses and the pujaris and the dayatapatis and the brahmins and everyone could just come and bring offerings and just put them on the road and offer them to Jagannath. So during that time, because Lord Chaitanya was dancing all day with his devotees, he was resting in a garden. And the devotees, Ramananda Rai, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, because King Prataparudra was so humble and so much eager to serve everyone, they told him, you should disguise yourself. Because if you go in as the king, Lord Chaitanya has already pushed you away so many times. Disguise yourself as a humble devotee, just a humble person. And massage the Lord's feet and legs. And sing these beautiful prayers from the Srimad Bhagavatam about that the gopis sang in separation from Krishna. And he will be really happy. Now King Prataparudra, that took a lot of faith in the devotees. Because during the Ratha Yatra, after the king was already discarded so many times, he was a distance watching Lord Chaitanya dancing. And suddenly Lord Chaitanya went into a state of ecstasy where he fell unconscious and fell right into the king's arms. And the king was, oh, what a blessing.
And then Lord Chaitanya came to consciousness and looked up and jumped out and said, "Abominable, I have been touched by a materialistic person." So the king was absolutely shattered, his heart. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to him, "Actually, the Lord's pleased. He's just saying like that." Now, after that, they sent him in to personally massage Lord Chaitanya's legs while he's resting. But he had such faith in the devotees, he went in and he was massaging and singing these beautiful songs of loving devotion that the gopis sang during the Rasa-lila. And Lord Chaitanya was listening. And then he came to the verse, "Tava katam ritam tapta jivanam purita jana." That the nectar of the narrations about Krishna are like a river Ganges. It flows from the mouths of compassionate people and purifies everybody who hears it. And those who are distributing this pure message of Krishna's love, they are the most munificent, the most merciful of all welfare people. There's welfare for the body, welfare for the mind. Welfare for the body is giving medical treatment, giving food, giving clothes, giving shelter. There's welfare for the mind, which means giving encouragement, giving confidence, giving a sense of inner value to a person. And then there's welfare for the soul. By actually awakening the understanding that we are all eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. We are not these bodies and minds. We are the immortal soul. We are a part and parcel of Krishna, and love of Krishna is within our hearts. And that's the ultimate thing that everyone is yearning for, that love that's within us. So Lord Chaitanya explained, this is the highest welfare, to give that love to Krishna to others. And when we do things, the medium of the body and mind is a medium by which we could connect with people's souls. So kindness to the body and kindness to the mind is a means by which we could actually give them the medicine for their soul. Enechi asadi maya nashai borlagi harina maha mantra lao tumi magi. Lord Chaitanya said, "I am a doctor, and I have brought the medicine that will cure the disease of ignorance and awaken love of Krishna in your heart. And that medicine is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra." But you see, in order for the doctor to give you the medicine, you have to like the doctor. Yes. Srila Prabhupada, he was cooking, he was cleaning, he was nursing, he was doing everything for his disciples in the early days just so that they would take the medicine. So when King Pataparudra sang this verse, Lord Chaitanya was so happy. He jumped up and he embraced the king. And he said, "You are the most munificent. You are the best welfare worker. You have come to give me so much nectar. You come to give me the nectar of reminding me of Krishna." And then he went down and then he said, "Sing it again." And the king sang the verse again and the Lord Chaitanya again embraced him. Lord Chaitanya was in so much happiness. He bathed the king's body with his tears. And the king was bathing Lord Chaitanya's body with his tears. And Lord Chaitanya was embracing him, saying, "You are my best friend. You have come to give me so much nectar. Please tell me, who are you?"
Now this became a... This is a very interesting moment. After getting all this, if he were to say, actually, I'm King Prataparudra in disguise, that risked everything. At the same time, the king knew that you cannot tell a lie to the absolute truth. So what was he going to do? Oh, this is so important, so important. Please listen carefully. The secret to the key to the doors of the spiritual world are in the answer that he gave. Are you ready? He spoke totally honestly. He spoke what was in his heart. When Mahaprabhu asked, who are you? He responded, I am the servant of the servant of the servant of your servants. And the only aspiration I ever have is to be the servant of the servant of your servants. He was not identifying himself as a beggar. He was not identifying himself as a king. He was identifying himself according to his true eternal nature, to serve. And in that case, Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, he writes that there is no higher goal to aspire for than to be the servant of the servant of the servant. He says, Kuvera, who is the treasurer of the demigods, offered Dhruva Maharaj any benediction. The treasure of the demigods has a lot. Can give you practically anything in the material world. And he's also a mystic. He has all the 8 mystic cities. Dhruva Maharaj asked only for one thing. To always remember Krishna and to always remain the servant of the servant of the servant of his servants. Srila Prabhupada explains, Lord Chaitanya offered Kolavecha Sridhar any benediction. Kolavecha Sridhar was in poverty materially. He had torn up clothes. He lived in a straw hut of one room. He was emaciated from not proper food. But he would love when little Nimai would come and steal his bananas when Lord Chaitanya was a small boy. He was a banana seller. Years later, Lord Chaitanya, when he was sitting on the throne during this Mahaprakash, he said, Sridhar, I will give you anything you like. I will give you a great kingdom or elevation to heavenly planets. Sridhar said, I have no desire for any of those things. He said, I will give you the 8 mystic cities where you could perform miracles. Sridhar said, that will just be a disturbance. I don't want it. Sridhar, I'll give you liberation from suffering forever. I'll give you an elevation to the spiritual world. Ask for something. Sridhar said, I have not come to do business with you. I don't want anything from you. I just want to serve. I just want to please you. That's my only desire. And Lord Chaitanya said, it will please me if you ask for something. Ask, ask. And Srila Prabhupada here explains that Sridhar said, if you must give me something, if that's what pleases you,
In every birth I take, let me be the servant of the servant of the servant of your servants. And let me always remember that little boy Nimai coming to steal my bananas. When King Prataparudra spoke like this, Lord Chaitanya was so pleased that he actually showed him his opulence. He revealed his form of Krishna to the king. And the king was in the highest perfect state of prem. Then after he left, all the devotees, they saw nobody got mercy like this. They were also happy. And here Srila Prabhupada explains, this is a very important principle. Everyone was happy to see someone else getting blessed. Ordinary people become envious. Why is this person? What did that king do? Look at all that I've done. I'm a renunciate. He's living in palaces. I'm eating this soaked rice. When we are happy to see the good fortune of others, Krishna is happy with us. When it pains us to see the good fortune of others, when it pains us to see others excel beyond ourselves, that gives great displeasure to Krishna. The nature of the ego is when we do better than others, we become arrogant. I am better than you. And then we think we have the right to say anything we want. Or if someone does better than us, the tendency is we become envious. And we try to drag them down somehow or other. So that I look better. Or we become depressed. Just depressed. I'm just useless. But the psychology of bhakti is this, that each and every one of us is eternally a sacred part of Krishna. Mamaivam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. And when we recognize that I'm a part of Krishna, because Krishna is all beautiful, I'm all beautiful. It's not just a matter. As long as we're identifying with this body and the mind and the ego, there's so many complications. But bhakti means we deal with the complications of the world from the understanding of who we really are. I'm beyond death. I'm beyond disease. I'm a part of Krishna. And Krishna loves me, and nothing could change that. There is no sin, there is no terrible thing anybody could do that could change Krishna's love for us. Krishna may be very displeased with us, and he may let us get punished like anything by the laws of karma, but still, we're his children. He loves us. That's our wealth, that God loves us. And the grace of the Lord is always there within us. Beyond our qualifications, beyond our disqualifications, is Krishna's grace. It's the most powerful thing in all of existence. And that's who I am. And if we just humble ourselves to receive that grace, we understand our immortal, infinite beauty and glory in relationship to Krishna. But the reason we forget that is the ego is so much distracting us, trying to find beauty and self-worth in all the temporary fleeting things of this world, like prestige or physical acquisitions. We have to live in the world. We have to try to earn money if we have families. We should live in such a way that we do give a respectable name to our family and to others. That's just the way of life. But that's not where our real focus is. The real wealth, as we spoke last night, we can understand how rich we are by counting the things that we have that money cannot buy. And there's one thing that money can never buy. That's love. And the origin of all love is God's love for us. Just like at the beginning of today's class, Ramchandra Prabhu stood up. And in Italiano, he called for all Italiano-speaking people to come and sit next to him. Yes? Now, I didn't know what he was saying. And whoever doesn't speak Italiano didn't know what he was saying. But somehow or other, all those people came to sit next to him. So that means he was speaking to them. The power to communicate is a gift of Krishna. But what is Krishna's power to communicate? We could see Ramchandra Prabhu. He's just an infinitesimal particle of Krishna, and he has such a nice power to communicate. I hope he's translating exactly what I say. He's just a wonderful devotee. But Krishna, the absolute, complete whole, it describes when he was living in this world 5,000 years ago. He would go every day with to herd 900,000 cows. Now you may ask, how is that possible? One little boy with a stick herding 900,000 cows. It's not possible. That's the answer. It's not possible for you or for me or for anybody else we've ever known in this world. But for Krishna, everything's possible because he has a chinta shakti. If you could exhale and create unlimited universes, then you could easily take care of 900,000 cows. But you can't do that. Aham bija pradapita. Janmadya sayataha. Krishna's the father, the mother of all living beings. He's the source of everything that exists. If you could keep the sun, how big is the sun? It's maybe millions of times bigger than the earth. And it just keeps... It's fire, its sun rays, which is emanating from the sun, is spreading through the universe. That's a lot of energy, isn't it? In all directions. And the sun has been there for millions and millions and millions of years. And is there anybody like sending, you know, fuel from Kuwait to refuel the sun? The sun has been giving out unlimited amounts of warmth and light, and nobody's putting fuel in it. And it's not getting any smaller. Isn't that inconceivable?
and it stays right in its orbit. And if the Earth gets a little too close, it burns. If it gets a little too close, it freezes. And it's, you know, it's just like this. If you could do that, you could herd 900,000 cows. It's Krishna. Every tree in Slovenia, I see a lot of nice trees here. All these trees were put inside a seed this big. Yes, a little seed grows from a tree and falls in the ground, and then a tree comes out of it. No man has ever put a tree into a seed this big, or made a seed this big into a tree. We can scientifically take what God has given us and manipulate it a little, but we can't actually originate it. That's Krishna. But all the powers and all the miracles that we see of God everywhere, they're ultimately the purpose of the whole existence. Is for all of us as the children of Krishna and Radha to experience Krishna's infinite, inconceivable love and to reciprocate by offering our love. That's the whole purpose of all material and spiritual worlds. And ultimately, the sufferings of this world for the little soul, as long as we think we're this little body and this is all there is, we really take our sufferings very... Why is this happening? But if we understand that this is just one little lifetime in a line of unlimited lifetimes, if we just turn to God, if we just turn to Krishna and cry out his name with humility and feeling, we enter again into his eternal pastimes. What is Krishna's power to reciprocate love? In the evening, just before the sunset, he would climb a kadamba tree called Tirkadamba. How many have been there? Just outside of Nandagaon. And Krishna, he'd climb up the kadamba tree, and he'd call out the name of a cow. Kamaduk! But you know what would happen? He would say, each cow would hear her name personally called by Krishna. Yes? One cow is Kaliya is hearing, Kaliya! Dudya is hearing, Dudya! Shamali is hearing, Shamali! Sukla is hearing, Sukla! Can I tell you a secret? You can tell anyone you want. But the names of the cows I just spoke were the names that Prabhupada personally gave to the first cows of ISKCON. First cow was Kaliya, and then Kamaduk, and Sukla, and Dudya. Those were the first cows. And then Dudya had a calf named Basya. And I used to milk all of them. Hari Hari. But anyways, when Krishna would say one name, every cow would hear her name. And every cow was thinking, Krishna loves me so much. Of all these cows, he's only saying my name. And the cow is so happy, Krishna loves me so much, that her tail would go all the way up into the sky. And she'd come, because he was calling them back to the tree, the cow would be smiling and crying in ecstasy with her tail raised, running back to see Krishna. Krishna's calling me! Krishna's calling me! And she was so intoxicated, feeling the endless
flood, a monsoon flood of Krishna's love for them, that they, none of them noticed that all 900,000 are doing the same thing. And even if they did, that's Krishna. Krishna has the power to make every devotee feel, I love only you. And that doesn't make us arrogant. Because Krishna's love is so great, it totally humbles us. A person who actually is feeling God's love is a person who's really genuinely humbled by that love. Because it's so great. It's so causeless. It's inconceivable. Krishna's Rasa Bihari. That means he's the supreme connoisseur expert of loving relationships with everyone. When Krishna was sitting on the bank of Yamuna with his cowherd boyfriends, all the boys with, there were thousands of them in a circle, in many circles around Krishna, circle around another circle, around another circle, and around another. And everyone is seeing Krishna just looking at them. Now, it's not that Krishna was spinning around, going, they were just seeing him like this, just looking at him. Krishna, of all these wonderful boys, he just looking at me. That's Krishna's power to love. And when Krishna fills us with his infinite love, then our only wish is to reciprocate. And as long as we're in this world, the way we reciprocate is being an instrument of giving that love to others. Should I try to speak technologically? You don't think I should do that? Everyone is very quiet. Does everyone understand the way I talk? Because I don't have a Slovenian accent or anything like that. There's something in the electrical technological field called a semiconductor. Does everyone know what that is? A semiconductor is something from which electricity passes through so that that electricity travels to its where it's supposed to go. Just like wire, copper wire is a semiconductor. Now, to the degree a semiconductor heats up, because of that heat, it blocks the ability for the electricity to flow through it. So what they do with our materials like ceramic, they actually bring the temperature of that semiconductor as close as possible to zero. So there's no resistance. To the degree there's heat, there's resistance of the current to pass through it. So when they bring the temperature completely down to zero, there's no resistance. That means the flow could just pass through it completely. And then that semiconductor becomes a superconductor. Now, why am I telling that? Because our hearts, as long as there's arrogance, as long as there's ego, as long as there's ulterior motives, it blocks the flow of grace from coming through us. Trinadapi sunichena, taro ibasi hishnana, Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari.
To actually learn how to be humble, forgiving, tolerant, and respectful. Not expecting for ourselves, but eager to be the servant of the servant of the servant. That humility takes away all the resistance of the ego. A humble heart, God's infinite love can enter into us and could flow out from us to give the greatest happiness to others. Srila Prabhupada came to teach us all how to be superconductors of Krishna's grace. Haridas Thakur was the Namacharya. He was a superconductor. And what was his quality? Trinadabhi Sumichena. Genuinely the servant of the servant of the servant. That was the qualification of Dukhi. That was the qualification of Sridhar and Dhruva and King Prataparudra. That was the virtue that Saint Francis was explaining is the perfect joy. And that's the gift that Srila Prabhupada came to give us. He was begging us. In his beautiful prayer to Krishna, he called himself an insignificant beggar. He was begging us. Out of compassion. You're trying to be happy with all these little mirages of this world. The real oasis of true happiness is in tasting Krishna's love for us. And he's giving his love. Param vijayate su Krishna sankirtanam. He's giving his love through his holy names. He's giving his love through the teachings he's given us of how to chant the holy names. He's given his love through the association of devotees, where we create communities based around actually accessing Krishna's love and being instruments of Krishna's love. It's not about me. It's about us. How we could all, to the degree we help each other, to that degree each of us individually is blessed by Krishna. Cooperation is not just a political correct thing to do for managerial purposes. Actual cooperation is the spirit of being the servant of the servant. It's removing the resistance of the ego and all the conflict that the ego creates so that the grace of Krishna can come to us through the chanting of the holy names. Krishna is all beautiful. Krishna is all attractive. And Sri Radha's love even conquers Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya is Krishna with Radha's love, giving us all that love, all that grace. And Srila Prabhupada, he traveled around the world perfectly, giving us the opportunity to receive it. Let us be grateful and let us honestly express our gratitude in a way that Krishna will be pleased. Thank you very much.